Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for joining us. If you just did, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out all of our Brain Trust members, including our good friend and our guest this half hour, Mr. Rich Galen, the publisher and the writer and the janitor and the accountant over at Mullings.com. He's our favorite Republican. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Our other favorite Republican.
My other brother, Jeff, yeah. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, he's here. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you, Bob?
Doing great. Hey, you know, Rich, I was just thinking, the talent pool in Washington, D.C. next week must have really gotten pretty desperate for the SBA.
Yeah, well, you know, they tried a lot of people, and first of all, they had to find somebody who was going to be in town. Then they had to find somebody who would work for free.
That's exactly right.
And will earn every dime of it.
And they're going to get all their money's worth, aren't they? What we're talking about, folks, is as you may have heard me say before, next week is Small Business Week. The SBA is whooping it up in Washington, D.C., celebrating Small Business Week. Lots of good stuff going on. I'm going to be up there all week long broadcasting all 5 days from Washington, D.C., primarily from the SBA's venue there at the Washington Hilton. And on Wednesday, there are a lot of different things going on, but on Wednesday night is the Hall of Fame dinner, and as I said, the talent pool was really, really tough that week, so they asked me to MC the Hall of Fame dinner on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night is when they're going to be recognizing the top small business owners, and Rich, you're going to be MCing that one.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I
thought you were going to say that I was going to be emceeing the Wednesday night thing, and I said, "Boy, I was going to say I couldn't even remember I was supposed to do Thursday night." Which was Wednesday.
I know, and I had to remind you about Thursday night, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Let me tell you, here's what a dope I am. This is an absolutely true story. The other day, I had to do a National Association of Manufacturers panel at their one of the regional meetings down in Florida, and I had been in Cincinnati for something else, and I flew from Cincinnati down to Tampa. And we're landing, and I turned to the guy next to me, and I said, "Are you from this area?" He said, "Yes, I'm from Tampa." I said, "Hi. How far is this hotel, the Registry Club and Registry Resort and Club?" And he looked at me. He says, "It's 3.5 hours." I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Naples." I said, "How far is Naples?"
Goodness.
He said, 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours, right.
I landed
at
the whole wrong airport.
Oh, no.
I mean, I drove down. I went in the night before. But
you
I
know, Rich,
I do that all the time.
As the minister said to the parishioner that he just told too much, I don't think I would have told that.
This is why I used to say laughingly, but I stopped saying I'm only about 2 weeks away from my wife pinning my home address to my lapel. I don't think it's funny anymore.
Well, you know, you were talking about working about getting not getting paid a couple of years ago. When I go up there, I wind up with 3 or 4 different badges because I wear 3 to 4 different hats mm-hmm. when I go to Washington to work with the SBA. And so one of them they gave me had a VIP was a VIP badge actually, and a friend of mine walked up and said, you know, was needling me a little bit. "All right, Blasingame, what does that mean?" And I said, "It means work for free." And so we're going to get another installment of that. But I love it, folks. Every time I do something, you know, Rich, every time I do something for the SBA, it comes back to me. And
yeah.
And they're good folks to work with, outstanding professionals. They do a great job up there. Rich, let's change hats a little bit and talk about Iraq. Things seem to be let me just ask you this question. Are things, from a security standpoint, are things deteriorating a little bit in Iraq?
Well, I don't know it's hard for me to tell from afar whether this is any kind of permanent change or whether, you know, if this were the – I mean, I hate to compare the two, but if we also don't know if the recent boomlet in the stock market is a permanent turnaround or whether it's just a temporary thing. One of the things we talked about Oh, I guess we've been talking about now for over a year, because it will be May 2nd, I was looking back, as the day that I got home from Iraq mm-hmm. last year, so just about a year. Mm-hmm. And you may remember that I told you that I was taught by some of the forensics guys over there that there's no such thing as a straight line in nature. That
right.
When you see straight lines in the desert, you assume that there's going to be a grave there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the same thing happens in history. There's no such thing as a straight line. So there, and we said that there would be these ups and these downs. Obviously, as the Iraqi security forces continue to get stronger. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, they went in and they killed about 86 insurgents
right.
that they surrounded and killed. What we don't know, and we won't know until we look back, is this a change for the worse? Or is this a last gasp?
Right.
And we'll know probably in about a month.
Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break. And folks, as you know, what I've been saying, democracy is not a chia pet. You don't just add water and get it. It takes time. 20 Till, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 Till. Little Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rich Galen is here, too. And, folks, I encourage you to subscribe to his thrice-weekly, count them thrice, newsletter that he sends out, his publication called Mullings, and it's at mullings.com. And as I said earlier, he is of the Republican persuasion, pretty unabashed about that, But still, even if you're not a Republican, you might want to subscribe just to see what Rich is up to. And Rich, good job this week on your thrice newsletters this week.
Thank you. This morning's was kind of a throwout. I was reading the Wall Street Journal the other morning, and there was a front page story about bed bugs in hotels.
Oh yeah,
I mean a front page story in the Wall Street Journal, but the thing that struck me as really hilarious was there's a little paragraph. The guy that was giving the speech at the Hotel Motel Association symposium on bed bugs was a guy from Marriott, and Marriott felt it necessary to put out a statement saying that they don't have
bed bug
problem.
and so which unemployment line is that guy standing in? I think that was the point you made. Rich, let's get back to Iraq. One of the things that happened was insurgents apparently were successful in shooting down a helicopter.
Yeah, really remarkable. I mean, I've been in those helicopters, as you know, and so yes, your son has too. Then and the thing that surprised me is it doesn't happen more because
right.
helicopters are low and slow, and unlike an airplane where you can shoot off a lot of it, and it'll still fly almost everything. Helicopters don't like to fly to start with. So it doesn't take very much damage to bring one down. But in this case, it looked like we'll see what the investigation said. But it appeared to me like.
Well, apparently Al Jazeera has videotape of the people who did it coming up, and allegedly the story is that there was one survivor, and those same people came up and killed that survivor.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit. But the point I was going to make was exactly that it smells to me like this is a security breach that they knew. That this flight was
right.
going to happen, and,
right.
and they got in the way of it.
One of the things
we used to do is, I mean, we called it. I can't remember the phrase of art for it, but I mean, we were very, very careful about even doing emails about where we were mm-hmm. going and when we were going there, because you didn't want, you never knew if somebody who was just kind of sweeping the floors behind you actually could read English, and the next thing 15 people. Knew you and a little squad were going to take off.
Right, Rich. There's some security professional or somebody I've forgotten who recently said expect some kind of an attack in the next 6 months because the Al Qaeda type folks are getting more desperate, and so they're gonna swing for the fences. Do you think that might be what we're seeing in Iraq? That kind of emotion, so to speak, or that kind of activity?
That's how we ended the last segment. My hope is, I think that this is a last gasp. This is the last spasm. Because they have broken it up. I mean, the real secret there, as you know, is getting this guy Zarqawi. If we can find him, I think we take care of a lot of problems around the world. But it's not easy to find people. I mean, you know, people say, well, how come you haven't found this guy? Well, I said, you know, that guy that, set off the bombs at the Olympics, he had been in the same state for 5 years. I mean, you know, if you can't find a guy in Georgia, how are you going to find a guy in Iraq?
What about the government over there? How are you, what's your attitude about the new government in Iraq?
Well, you know, they constantly confound and surprise the doubters. I mean, I watched that whole thing fairly closely, and you and I talked about the fact that when it looked like they were having trouble, choosing a government, I said this is the way it's supposed to work. I mean, it's supposed to be difficult, and you're supposed to be have to trade. This is a transitional government. They're supposed to have a constitution written by mid-August, and they'll probably come pretty close. And then have permanent elections by the end of this year, and they'll probably come pretty close to that. So, and it looks like they are reaching out to their neighbors, and their neighbors are taking the reached out hand, which is really critical. Not Iran so much, but the other neighbors are really kind of peeking over the top of the tent to see what's going on there, because they recognize the Gulf states especially recognize that a stable Iraq is potentially powerful economic engine. And they want to be part of that. So I think they're generally doing the right things. You know, it's new to them. They haven't had a chance to play in the sandbox for 35 years.
Well, you know, Rich, when my son was going over there, as you know, you were already there. We were talking about it. I said, son, and especially when I found out he was in Fallujah for all that time, I said, son, you're making history. You and your cohorts are making history right now. And I still believe that that's true. And I also like to remind people, Rich, about our country, the history of our country. Look at the different iterations of governance that we went through till we got the government that we have now. And I also like to remind people that it took 11 years from Declaration of Independence to Constitution. 11 years.
It's actually 13 years.
I mean, you're right. It was 13 from 76
to 89.
That's exactly right. No, you're right. What about let's change horses and talk about some of the things that are going on in Washington, Mr. DeLay and Mr. Bolton. What's happening with those two guys?
Well, the Bolton thing, I think Bolton will be confirmed.
Remind us who he is.
Bolton is, and I can't remember his first name.
John.
John. Yeah, there's also a Josh Bolton. John Bolton is an Undersecretary of State. And the way the thing works here in Washington is there's a secretary, there's a deputy secretary, and then depending upon the size of the department, there are a number of undersecretaries. So the undersecretary is a third tier, very senior, but the third tier in a big department like state. So he's been confirmed a number of times for a number of jobs, but he's a prickly, you know, son of a gun, and he is not the biggest fan of the United Nations that we've ever had. And he's been outspoken about his opposition to the way the UN has been run. That's been taken by some of our friends on the left as being in opposition to the concept of a UN.
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back to that. Yesterday, I called him the U.S.'s Rottweiler. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich, give us your website one more time.
It's www.mullings.com.
That's a G-S on the end there, and don't forget to subscribe there, and you'll be a happy subscriber of Rich's thrice weekly cyber column.
You know, I'm kind of surprised. I don't know how you feel about yours, but I'm always a little bit surprised when I wake up on a publication morning like this. I normally write the night before, and I don't have 30,000, you know, removes.
I do that all the time.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. Especially if I write something that's a little bit edgy, you know, and sometimes I write something and I push the button and I just cringe. But then, you know, it seems like maybe those are the ones people like. You never can tell. Rich, I want to ask you about you know, I have not historically been a big detractor of the UN until the last two or three years. And now I am a major detractor of theirs. And I actually am excited about the idea that John Bolton has a chance to go to over there. We don't need somebody who plays patty cake with the UN. We need somebody who will go over there and will hold the reform feet to the fire.
Don't you know, Well, I absolutely agree with you, other than the fact that I've never been a huge fan of the UN. I like the concept of the of a UN. I'm just not. I don't like the UN the way it's being run, and the fact that it is generally an anti U.S. policy body. I mean, you know, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago, making I invented a country called Upper Iguana, and I mean, the upper iguanas of the world want to have the same number of votes that we have in terms of making policy. And guess what? We're paying one out of every $5. We pay 20%. The U.S. taxpayers pay 20% of the operations of the United Nations. One out of every $5 comes from your pocket.
And allow their and we allow their operation to be in our country.
And they can park anywhere they want. And
right.
I think if you want to have a UN, that's fine. Put it in Somalia. Then
right.
we'll see how many people really
exactly.
kind of committed to this process. But going back to Bolton, I think they finally stopped saying it because it just sounded so stupid. He once said that the UN building is 38 stories, and if you blew up 10 of the stories, if you got rid of 10 of the stories, he said nobody would miss it. And what he was talking about was the bloated bureaucracy. And indeed, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, two of the senior investigators of the Volcker Commission, the guys that are investigating
right.
Oil for Food and Kofi
right.
Annan and his son Kojo Annan, resigned in protest because they thought that the report, even though the report refused to say that Kofi Annan had done nothing wrong, they thought that it didn't go far enough. They apparently think that there was enough evidence to actually accuse him of wrongdoing.
Well, and I admire.
I think we want a guy like John Bolton in there, you know, holding these guys' feet.
Who will support that kind of courage? Which I really admire those investigators for doing that. Okay, let's shift horses and talk about Mr. DeLay. Is he going to make it?
I think so.
Tom DeLay from Texas, folks, is the House Majority Leader.
Unless the only person that I can remember that actually had to resign in the middle of a Congress was Jim Wright, and he had a lot of problems.
But the Democrats are still mad about that.
Well, they allowed him. The Democrats allowed him to cop a plea to a phony book deal where the rules are that you can make money on a book, you know, royalties on a book, but you can't charge for speeches. And what he was doing was saying, well, I'll give that speech. I can't charge you for it, but you have to buy 10,000 copies of my book.
I do that all the time. I do that all the time, Rich.
Yeah, but you're not the Speaker of the House.
Right.
The thing about DeLay that I don't understand is if the Democrats are successful and do get rid of him, then what? Then you end up with a guy like Matt Blunt
I don't think they care who they wind up with, Rich. I think they just want some blood.
Well, but the only reason to do this stuff, Jim, is to get control of the House back. And for their purposes, a wounded DeLay is much better than a no DeLay.
And I've heard that some of the Democrats, for that reason, are starting to say, wait a minute, let's back off. We'd rather he be crippled.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, what they need is the Democrats spent, by our count, about $66 million in ads, the Democrats and their allies in labor,
right.
against Newt Gingrich in the 1996 election campaign.
Right.
They demonized Newt, and that allowed them to
20 seconds.
Yeah, what that allowed them to do was to paint Dole with a brush
right.
called Newt. They got to spend a lot more money getting, making Tom DeLay that.
Quick question.
That
in 06, will Tom DeLay be the Republican House Majority Leader?
I think probably not. I think his time is probably up anyway.
Maybe the death of a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rich, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.